I curse because I like it. I like how the cursing flows from my lips. I can curse better than anybody. They like it. And you can't save a slave that loves his chains. Can't do it. So step one, repent. Step two, believe the gospel. Embrace the good news. Step three, present your physical body to God. Romans chapter 12, look at it. You got to repent, believe the gospel, then present your body physically to God. Give it back to him. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1. We quote this all the time, but you got to see it in its proper perspective. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because God showed you mercy by sending Jesus the Son to die for you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. As God gave a body, his Son's body, to save you, to free you, give God your body as a representation of the fact that you appreciate what Jesus did. As a reciprocal act, since God gave Jesus' body for me, I'm giving God my body for Jesus. See, Jesus took my penalty, so I give him a body in exchange for doing it. That's your reasonable service. And be not what? Conformed to this world that you repented from, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. With the body given to God on an altar, which is the cross, he then begins to work on your mind to transform it so you'll actually prove and live out the will of God. The will of God is given to you in your thoughts. As you think differently, God's will be performed through you because you're thinking the thoughts of God. But you got to have a body where? On the altar, after you've repented and after you believe the gospel. The evidence of believing the gospel is water baptism followed by Holy Ghost baptism. That fire falls on you as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. That's what the Holy Ghost baptism is. It's saying that you've given him a body, he baptized the body because you gave him a body. If you hold back the body, he's got nothing to baptize. Holy Ghost baptism is restricted and restrained from folks that are holding on to something in the world. That's all it is. I don't have to even guess about it. Folks wondering, why don't I get the Holy Ghost baptism? You better sift through yourself and examine yourself to see what you're holding on to. Because you got an idol somewhere that you won't let go of. You're still looking at the same junk, talking about the same junk, hanging around the same places, and trying to justify it as it don't take all that. Well, you don't want the power to live this life. You don't want to be a part of the household of faith. You don't hunger and thirst after righteousness yet so you can be filled. See, it's all casual, cal, and laid back, and it don't matter. It don't take all of that. Man, this thing takes more than all that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The body is not for sexual fornication, it's for the Lord. That's why you were given a body, not to fornicate with. You can see how fornication is always the barrier most times to people coming to the Lord, because they're using the Lord's body to have pleasure for me. That's why it says it's not for fornication, it's for the Lord. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot or a whore is one body with that harlot? For two saith he shall be one flesh. People have all these different ties soulishly to sexual partners, and it's delaying them being free. You got to fast and pray to break those soul ties to give your body back to God and take it away from the whore you laid around with. Your soul is tied to some whore somewhere, some whoremongering man somewhere, and the Holy Ghost is trying to baptize you, but you got your soul tied to some whore you laid around with for 2 or 3 years. Break the soul tie. Fast and pray your way to break that soul tie so the Holy Ghost can come upon you. What, know you not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. And he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Physical intercourse, one flesh. Spiritual intercourse, one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. You get progressively worse. You get lackadaisical. You get mental impairment, sickness, disease, infirmity. You lose the zest for life. Look how many women walk around looking haggardly and nasty because they're fornicating. And they start looking nasty, don't keep themselves up, don't fix their hair. They got on freshly washed clothes and they still look dingy. It's a film that comes over you when you're fornicating. You feel like you're nasty when you're around. You've just bathed in a nastiness because you're not living a clean, sanitized life. You sin against your own body. You exude the filth that you've been laying around in. I mean, women are becoming just atrocious as far as their appearance. Used to be, man, we came up, the girls came to school, they were fresh. Stuff was starched, man, they came in those sundresses, little sandals on, curls in their hair, ribbon in their hair. Man, their makeup was beautiful, they had their stuff together. They looked stylish when they walked in. You said, man, that's a classy girl, they're coming down the aisle. Now they come in just rusty, old yoga pants on, just looking crazy, just raggedy, nasty, stinking. Talking about I want a man. A man? What? You very rarely see a well-kept woman nowadays. They wouldn't even go to the corner store without getting dolled up. Went to college? Man, those girls hit those classrooms sharp. They would get dressed up in business attire and dresses to come to school. If they had on jeans, they were starched, pressed, blouses pressed, ruffles on their blouses, sharp. Now, old stinking bedroom slippers and some old stinking shorts. Just walking around, just beat up. And I hate to see these women walking around with holes cut in their jeans. Just all cut all up. Just, and they buy them like that. The devil just tell you, you just raggedy. And you just buy it. It's my style. It's a style statement. You look raggedy. It's bad to be a raggedy woman. Well, that's your opinion. That ain't my opinion. That's a fact. It's bad to be an unkept raggedy woman and no man wants you. They'll use you, but they don't want you because you're too cotton-picking raggedy. Get yourself together and get some business about yourself. I don't like how he talks. You know, that's what gets me about him. He just talks with so much. I don't know what that is. It's manhood. That's what you ain't used to. I ain't your sissy daddy and your sissy boyfriends. Look what he says. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. Your body and your spirit belong to God. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. So you believe the gospel after you've repented, and then you give him a physical body. The fourth thing you do is you seek the baptism in the Holy Ghost with everything you've got. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Told you there are seven things that bring simplification to salvation. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus speaking, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Power to be a witness, a martyr, a sacrifice after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You got to seek God for the Holy Ghost to live this life. The fourth thing you got to do to simplify your salvation is seek God for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing worse than somebody not baptized in the Holy Ghost trying to provide commentary about anything spiritual. Without the Holy Ghost, you got no revelation of Jesus. You got information about Jesus. It has no impact on anybody's life. It's pitiful to watch people doing it. Shut your mouth until you got the Holy Ghost and he's transformed your mind to flow through you like a river to represent Christ. You can't be a witness void of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now you see now, the Holy Ghost came. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. People will try to tell you they just spake in foreign languages. Well, if they didn't know this foreign language, what was inspiring them to speak in those languages? The catalyst was the Holy Ghost. He came and appeared as cloven tongues of fire. And you see the people in their surroundings from different arenas, from different areas, understood and heard them in their own tongues. So people try to tell you, see, that's not necessary. The Holy Ghost is a special gift, and talking in tongues is a special gift. Everybody don't receive it. See, anything not to just yield your body to God. That's you holding your body back from God. That's you trying to justify your rebellion against giving God your body. You seek God and begin to pursue God and diligently fast and pray before God. And you show him that you're hungry and thirsty. He said, verily, you shall be filled. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Man can baptize you in water, but only Jesus can baptize you in the Holy Ghost. It ain't no jiggling your jaw and say amen and hallelujah and Lord, Lord real fast and trying to tell you you got it, or just begin to speak in another language. Just sit here and you got to open your mouth. No, the Holy Ghost comes on you with power. You don't have to. Who told them how to do it? They just sitting in a room praying and everybody break out speaking in tongues. They didn't have any guide. They had nobody telling them what to do. We need the Holy Ghost to come down here again and flood the arena and fill people. So after you have repented, after you believe the gospel, after you present your body as a sacrifice to God, seek God for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I am simplifying salvation. The next thing you have to do is study to show yourself approved. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You have to commit yourself to a disciplined life of study. It's bad when you don't study your Bible, because you don't know what's going on down here without studying your Bible for yourself. You have to study to show yourself approved. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Notes. A discipline. Staying in your prayer closet. Coming out to study your Bible. Sifting through the words in the Bible. Examining. Pulling the Bible apart. Not reading the Bible. Studying the Bible. That's a discipline. That's checking the history of the Bible. Where was the Bible written? Where was this passage written? Who wrote it? To whom was it written? Hermeneutics is the dissection of the Bible to find out all the character traits of that passage. What are they talking about? What did they mean? Why did he say what he said? Where did he say it? What was he addressing? All of these things come through studying the Bible. This is why people take the Bible scriptures and passages out of context. They haven't studied the Bible. There are parts of the Bible that are modified and tempered by other parts of the Bible. He can say something in one passage and then modify and temper it in another passage. He can tell you that certain things are for this certain distress that's occurring right now. It's not eternal and applicable in every situation, but for right now, I'm taking care of this situation right here, right now. But now you try to pull that out of the Bible and make it applicable to everybody. So all you women have to wear veils. So you got to know what the apostle is saying and why he's saying it, where he's saying it, to whom he's saying it. All of these things come through study for you to practically apply the data in the Bible. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly cutting up the word of God. This is not for a novice. You got all these young boys jumping on the internet on Facebook Live trying to teach something they know nothing about and have no experience. And it's bad when you hear anybody teaching the Bible talking about, well, I think this might be right. Or, you know, this is one way to see it. I'm not saying that everybody got to see it this way. And, you know, in my opinion, I figured it should happen like this. And the best I can make out of it is we ought to. And, man, what's wrong with you? Sit yourself down somewhere. You handling a nuclear bomb as a novice with no experience as a nuclear physicist. Sit down. This stuff is life and death in this Bible. He says, don't let there be many teachers amongst you, seeing that they shall receive the greater condemnation. You're judged by everything you say. And people just jumping up, grabbing a microphone, and trying to start teaching Bible studies and preaching. Man, you better sit yourself down somewhere. A 2-year-old got no business trying to drive a Mack truck. Because it's all just a joke to them. There used to be a rapper or something that used to be in front of people making the room bounce. So now they get come to the church and then they will still be in the limelight. Put the microphone down, man. Pry your hands. You got to pry their hands off the microphone. It's almost like they got super glue glued to the microphone. I just can't let it go. A lot of these women up in the pulpit trying to be pastors need to just sit down somewhere. You got to pry the microphone from the grip of their dead hands. You have to kill them first probably to get that microphone. You got to pry it out of the closed grip on the microphone because I refuse to abdicate. I'm not going to let God make me sit down. I don't care what his stinking Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I am a pastor. Well, the Bible says you have to be a husband and father to be a pastor. Did you know that? That the qualifier to be a pastor is to be a husband and father first. That's Bible 101. You got to govern your own house well. You got to have one wife. That means the office of pastor is reserved for husbands and fathers, none of which qualifies a woman to be a pastor. You don't like that? I'm sorry. You listen to me, my live stream, you're going to a church with a woman pastor, you're sitting under rebellion against the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus, the qualifiers are right there in front of you. The word of God cannot be broken. What is Jesus waiting for? For all this debris to clear, to bring forth his army, led by his commanders, in battle array, prepared to fight and win this warfare. So you got to study to show yourself approved. The most important part of this, one of the most important parts, number 6 is commit yourself to a life of prayer and fasting. Let's run through these scriptures real fast. This is going to be just about wrapped up. Romans 8, verse 26. Look what he says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows that what is the mind of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. While you're talking in tongues and praying before God and groaning and moaning before God, the Spirit is taking up those words and you're praying the will of God. Amen. Without your conscious mind being able to even understand it. But the Spirit takes up in you with groanings that cannot be uttered. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So you see now, in prayer, sanctified prayer with the Holy Ghost bathing you and pouring through you, you're praying the will of God, and the purposes of God are coming to fruition without your conscious mind even knowing what you're praying about. Take up a life of prayer, supplication. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18, what does it say here? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. It's a discipline. You don't have to feel like praying. It's a discipline. You make yourself pray with all prayer and supplication. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Take a look at verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even our Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So he says, look, I'm standing here and I am just here endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. Satan can hinder you if your prayer life doesn't stop him, remove him as a hindrance. This is why you got to pray. You got to break through the boundaries of Satan trying to prevent you, hinder you from getting through. Prayer and supplication and fasting is necessary to break those chains. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, I guess yoga pants, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. So you see now, men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, and in like manner, the women be sober and adorn themselves in modest apparel. That's what it's all about. Then he goes on talking about the women learning in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority. Here's the key word, over the man. But to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. So it's all about what we're lacking in church today, patriarchal governmental authority that women operate under. They don't take authority over the men, but they can be allowed to operate within the confines of the man's authority. If that wasn't true, there couldn't be a Phoebe in the Bible. There couldn't be a Priscilla with Aquila. Priscilla was teaching right along with Aquila. There couldn't be four daughters of Philip the Evangelist that did what? They prophesied. Hold it, you can't talk. Shut up. So you got to make the Bible make what? Logical sense from start to finish. You got guys trying to tell women you can't say nothing in church because, you know, you commanded to be quiet. get away from that kook. Like I said, Phoebe sent as a messenger, the word for her really is a deaconess, but that didn't mean she was a deacon in the church. She was operating as a servant of the church, and the word is the same word for a deacon. But she was a servant of the church, not in the office of a deacon. How do I know that? Because 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells you what a deacon has to be to qualify to be one. The Bible has to make sense. How does it make sense? You got to study to show yourself approved. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 22. In all things whatsoever you ask, you shall ask where? In prayer, believing, you shall receive. Not just ask talking to your buddy on the phone. All things you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it. So that means you got to be in prayer. You got to stay in prayer. That's where you get answers to prayer. You get answers to prayer in prayer. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, take a look at verse 12. Luke 6, 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, referring to Jesus, went into a mountain to pray and continued how long? Folk won't even come in the prayer line for 30 minutes. The man went into a mountain and continued all night in prayer. When you're talking about a prayer vigil, you're talking about bombarding heaven. You're talking about seeking God. Alone in a mountain, you and I would even be afraid of the wolves and the coyotes up there. The black bears in the Georgia mountains. He wasn't out there in a cabin. I mean, have you ever been to the mountains alone at night? Before we got married, my wife did that. I'm going to take a sabbatical up in the mountains in a cabin alone before we get married to, you know, just get right with God. Man, you're all kind of stuff out in the woods at night in a cabin by yourself now. And you got out in the mirror and see nothing but darkness and woods. It's black bears in the Georgia mountains, in Helen, Georgia, in Gatlinburg in Tennessee. Scary, man. That's why you got to know God for real. But he up there in the mountains all night in prayer. Why was he up there? And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. He was there seeking God for what? Who to name as the apostles. He had to have clarification on who to choose. I got to choose one devil God has given me the go, the green light on. I'll choose 11 men and a devil because I got to secure my own crucifixion. I was born to die. But I got to pray this through because I don't want to pit the wrong guy. He stayed all night in prayer to see where the apostles were. And he was able to go through and choose them. James, James. Judas, Judas, John, Simon, Simon, Andrew, Matthew, Bartholomew, Philip. It's a lot of duplications of apostles' names. Did you know that? One of the Simons was also called Peter. But a lot of guys had the same name. It was Judas. Then it was Judas Iscariot. There was James, John's brother. Then there was another James. All these folk he chose after staying all night in prayer. In prayer. In prayer. In prayer. So I can see. I'll know what to do. You can't know what to say standing here right now unless you prayed and got before God. I listen to God all week. I carry myself a little writing pad in my back pocket and I jot down little notes to myself as he tell me stuff. And then they come together at the end of the week and it all makes sense. By Sunday. Because if I don't do that, I'll forget what he said sometimes by Friday. So you ought to have a notepad where you might have God speaks to you. Let me write that down. Man, that's good right there. Communication. You ought to be talking to God. God tells you a lot of stuff. You forget it. You better get yourself a safety valve. Get yourself a pen and paper. I might need this. Man, this thing is real, man. This is not for somebody just stumbling around in this. You got to want to know for real. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Acts 6, 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brothers, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What are they choosing? Deacons, not one woman. See, people want to play stupid. It's right here in the Bible. But we will give ourselves continually to what?
Prayer.
Prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, which means they appointed them and anointed them for this service. They commissioned them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So the priests that served in the temple were converted and obeyed the faith. We've got to get back to proper church order, but it's got to be prayed through. It's got to be prayed through until God raises up the proper church order. Right now, we got a discombobulated, crazy church world with no divine structure and order that you can see in place. It's everybody doing their own thing. All of us like sheep have gone astray, each of us following our own separate ways. Everybody's got a storefront somewhere. You drive down some street, you got 5,000 storefront churches every 2 feet. They jump up and start some old junk because I don't want to let anybody tell me anything. And they just siphon off all these people in all these directions with no real order, no real authority, no real anointing from God, because the oil is poured over wherever the brothers dwell together in unity. That's what the Bible says. The oil and anointing is poured over where the brethren dwell together in unity. So the devil's plan is to do what? Divide up the brethren. That's why your silly wife don't want you around the men of God. She's the tool of the devil to keep you away from the brethren, trying to stop the anointing. And you sit there tied to a skirt tail. A brother told his sister. She came to me and said, my brother told me he would come over to Omega and serve with y'all, but his wife won't let him go. I said, I guess you go to hell behind that, don't you? You're going to abdicate your responsibility to God. Not that I want anybody here. I'm not saying that. Because we don't need you bringing your crazy wife up in here, too. You know what I'm saying? Because she's not going to come willingly, and you're going to drag that old thing up in here. We're going to have to fight another war. And believe me, over the years, we fought enough of those wars. We fought enough of those to last a lifetime. But if you that weak that you're going to bow the knee to a Jezebel spirit, to Delilah, to Bathsheba, man, you deserve what you get. I'm going to abdicate my salvation in favor of what my wife does or doesn't like. One guy left here and said, I left because I couldn't fight this war with my wife and my mother-in-law. Neither one of them like you. My mother-in-law said you talk like an army commander. She don't like that. And, you know, I know it's true, but I just can't fight that war at the house, man. I really can't. I guess you go to hell behind that. What do you do when God calls you up to confront the enemy for real and you got to stand in battle array against the devil, and your mother-in-law don't like it. You see how pitiful this is? These guys have their throats slit because they can't get out from under a woman's skirt tail. It's bad. It's ugly. Acts chapter 12. You know the story. Peter was locked up in prison, kept in prison, and the church began to intercede for him. Look what it says in verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was what? Made without what? Without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Pray without ceasing. When somebody's bound, you're looking at them. Pray without stopping until you get an answer. Till you break through. He was in prison and bound, but prayer was made without ceasing. Non-stop prayer was the answer to that problem. So you see, simplified salvation, repent, believe the gospel, present your body to God, seek the baptism in the Holy Ghost, study to show yourself approved, pray and fast. Fasting intensifies your prayer. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Man, we're talking about really breaking through, man, getting to another place in this. Who wants to keep hanging around the same place? James chapter 5, verse 5. You have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. What are we praying for? We're praying to break through to the latter rain. The former rain came at Pentecost as they were found doing what? Fasting and praying. That's what brought the former rain. So guess what will bring the latter rain? Fasting and praying. Tarry until we're endowed with power from on high. And the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former house. If you thought they had power coming out on the streets of Jerusalem in Acts when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, you ain't seen nothing yet. The glory of the baptized church at the end, the latter rain, will be greater than the former rain. And it's going to come by way of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayers go up and God collects prayers. You don't believe it? Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are what? Prayers of the saints are going up. And they're being stored by these elders and these individuals in heaven. These different kind of angels, four beasts, which is some kind of a cherubim angel or something. We don't even know what these things are. But they have these prayers going up. They rise like a incense. It's like ascending incense into heaven. Why do I say that? Look at chapter 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So you got an angel up there now with incense billowing and the prayers of the saints billowing before God. So you're praying, you're thinking like, God don't hear nobody when you pray. I've been praying for a long time. You don't hear nothing. Oh, yeah. It's billowing before him like the smell of sweet perfume. Incense can perfume an area. That's one thing Roman Catholics would do. They would have an incense thing today. That incense smelled good, didn't it? If you was a Roman Catholic, that incense they used to have out there splattering around. Burning in that censer. And see, that's what I'm saying. If we pray, it's billowing. It's going up like incense. He can smell it. God smells prayer. He can pick up the fiber and essence of prayer. You become a vessel of prayer, God gonna get close to you. Become a praying person. Man, God will get real close up on you because he likes the smell of incense. You become somebody billowing incense all day and all night. The last thing, we'll wrap it up with this one. After all six things are done, the last thing you have to be is a witness. Simplified salvation, a witness. Psalm 107. Everybody knows world famous Psalm 107. I know you know this. You got this one memorized. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom have he redeemed from the hand of the enemy? If you've been redeemed and bought by Jesus Christ away from your depravity and your sin, he says you ought to be able to say so. You need to open your mouth and be a witness to what the Lord has done for you. He told some people he delivered. He said, go and tell the folks what compassion the Lord has had on you and what I've done for you. The redeemed of the Lord need to continually say so. If not, what will become of you? Matthew chapter 10. Man, you ought to be speaking up. You need to say so. Tell somebody. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, last scripture. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Say so if you don't want to be denied in heaven. A witness. You should become a witness. It's the normal progression of your salvation. Seven things were repeated one last time. One. What's number one? What's two? Believe the gospel. Three. Present your physical body to God. Four. Seek the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Five. Study to show yourself approved. Six. Commit yourself to prayer and fasting. And seven is simplified salvation. Studying New World Order, studying all the different junk you find down here that you can study day and night, doing your research, reading newspaper articles, looking at Fox News and CNN, talking about Donald Trump and the presidency, talking about what Rihanna did last week and Beyonce's new babies. All that junk. Beyonce and witchcraft at the Super Bowl. Now Lady Gaga and witchcraft at the Super Bowl. Next year it'll be Rihanna and the Super Bowl and witchcraft. It'll go on and on. And everybody keep examining all this junk, but they won't set their face to seek the Lord. Simplify your salvation. Facebook has become dumb book. Reading that dumb junk all day. Folks asking open-ended questions because they're narcissistic in need of attention, and you jump right into every discussion. Turn off dumb book and open up the book and get in the Word of God. Transform your mind. Lift up out of here. Desire to see a metaphysical manifestation in your life. It don't matter what the devil bring in your room at night. If I'm armed and extremely dangerous, they better be afraid of me. Because there's no telling what I might not do to you up in here. You got to become the offensive weapon of God, full of the Holy Ghost and power. Simplified, sanctified salvation. The world and the information from the world is choking off salvation. The Bible says the cares of this world will choke off the word and it will become unfruitful. And lo and behold, people falling right into the snare. You meditate on this junk all day, and your appetite will become dry toward the things of God. You'll lose the zeal for prayer. You'll lose the zest for studying the Bible. Praise and worship will dry up in you. You don't even feel like singing songs of glory. The world itself has the innate power to strangle off and deaden a spiritual appetite for God. It's like drinking and eating arsenic or strychnine. It's poison. It's venom. You got to discipline your mind to concentrate on the things of God until you're transformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, until He gives you the Holy Ghost to empower that image in you and send you into this warfare to win it. It's simplified salvation. It's organic growth of a life. You get the conditions right within you, the life will grow. You can tell how some people don't love God and not interested in organic life. You know how you know? Because they eat like Great Dane dogs. Whatever you feed going to get bigger. If you can look down and not see your feet because your gut 25 feet in front of you, that's what you love. The Bible says your God is what? Your belly, and you're here glorying in your shame. It's nothing worse than a big, fat somebody in front of a church trying to preach deliverance to somebody. You're not delivered yourself because you love food. Food is your God, and you're trying to represent Jesus Christ, having been overcome by what? Surfeiting. The Bible says you'll be overcome and conquered by eating. Your appetite is out of control. Everything in God is done in moderation. You can't walk by a plate of spaghetti and then you're going to go and conquer the world for God. I can't get past this steak. And for God's sake, please don't have no ice cream and cake on the counter. Or some peach cobbler or banana pudding. I'm through. That's how weak Christianity has become. I can't get past a barbecue sandwich. Some rib tips. We're going to fast. The fast ends right before Memorial Day. I'm going to make up for lost ground come Monday. Start doing the rock. Michael, I want to rock with you. You looking forward to it. You going go to somebody's house to a barbecue, just rock your way in. How you to back up? You to go back and forth, you a rock doing it. You get happy because you see that food in your inside. So you get happy when you see your God. People's brain got that food. You start just, they're bringing out the food. They're bringing out the food. What them ribs? Them ribs? There's some ribs? Be spitting and salivating and licking your stinking lips. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? We brought some pig out. Some cooked pig and you went crazy. That's how bad the church is. I'm telling you for real. You'll fast yourself into an arena of sanctification and sacrifice and go right back to unbridled lust for food on Monday morning. Yeah. On the fast, I got a real marinade. I got them already in the juice. I put them in the juice on Wednesday. They will marinate through Sunday. I'm going to slow grill them on Monday morning. Y'all come by about 3 o'clock. We're going to get right. We're going to get right. You hear me? You bring the macaroni and cheese. You bring the potato salad. You bring the bread. You bring the slaw. You bring the drinks. You bring the weenies. You bring the hamburgers. You bring the steaks. You bring the pork chops. You bring the... Don't go! And you sit there mad. You know why? I forgot the greens. Doggone it. Run up to the Kroger and get some bags of greens. We try to cook them in the crock pot and get them cooked fast. And bring some of them ham hocks because we need that pork flavor. You're happy. I got my plate of slop. Slop the hogs. And the church is shut down because the church is fat and sloppy and overweight with appetites running out of control. Jesus is addressing appetites running out of control. Why in the devil you get that fat? I mean, think about yourself in the 10th grade. Well, everybody got a thyroid problem. I think it's my thyroid. What's wrong with your thyroid? What's wrong? Tell me what's wrong with the thyroid. What's wrong with it?
Well, I feel like my thyroid is expanded.
No, you fat. It's got fat on it. I'm not trying to be funny, but yes, I am to try to lighten the blow of it. See, I try to do this when I talk about this, to lighten the blow. But see, this right here is the essence and the root of the problem. Appetites for the world are out of control, and we justify them. Everybody would jump on a fornicator and an adulterer and a dope addict and sit there with a plate full of pig slop like they're free. You're just addicted to the food. You're just like a porno addict. You can't walk past the plate of food. What did I smell? What y'all cooking up in here? You keep on, you know, putting out innuendos and to somebody, you want some? Well, I guess I will come on in here and get a bite. You get me, what y'all cooking? What's that smell? What's that flavor? What's that scent? It's some kind of aroma up in here. I feel the essence of something y'all cooking. I think, would you like some? Well, yes, I guess I will, since you forcing my hand. Look, man, you're an idolater of food. That's got the whole church world on lockdown. They can't make it through a 11-day fast. Some people about half dead right now. They're about crying. They're crying at night. Let's see, we got four more days. Four more days, you say. What did he say at the beginning of the message? Four more days. 4 days, doggone it. Four more days. Four days, man. 11 days without food? That's a clown fast. Jesus went for 40 days and 40 nights. Don't even mention that in church. They'll kill you about a 40-day fast, man. I can't do that. The soul is big, is strong, is full of appetites, is warring against your spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. It's the soul nature that God is warring with. Appetites that are running unrestrained. I can't stop doing anything for a few minutes for God. I got to have my dose of pig slop. This is bad. Some people's appetites are so perverted that unless it's got fat in it, it's got a taste of fat in it, I don't even like it. I gotta take that fat. I like fat. And you just add fat to you. See, fat is necessary in the body because you burn it for energy. But when you put too much in, guess what's going to happen? Your body's going to store it. There ain't no mystery as to why you got all that stuff hanging. You know, this love, ain't no love handles. You need to do something about this. Hit the gym, bicycle, walk. Cut back on your eating. I mean, get yourself brought back into subjection to where you used to be. Think about what you used to be like and where you used to be. How you get way over here? You let appetites run out of control. That's what does it. It's time to go back to the old pathways. It's time to go back to the old landmarks. It's time to deal with things for real and stop making excuses about it. Because whatever you allow, you can settle into that as a comfort zone and just stay that way and then just excuse it away. Well, my hormones, you know, my thyroid, you know, big bones running my family. You know, there's no such thing as big bones. You find anybody's skeleton, the skeletal size is going to be the same. There are no big bones, like fat bones. See how stupid that is? Well, we dug them up and they had fat bones. No, man. A skeleton is a skeleton. It's all fat and crud all around you. You'd be amazed what's in the human body. You cut it open and looked at it. Fat is really tangible. You cut open your body, look at it, it's globs of white. Stuff looks like mucus. Just globs of it. They can pull it out. That's what they do with a tummy tuck. They take you, cut you open, and rake out that slop. Then they pull your skin down, cut off the excess, and pull your skin tight and sew you back together again. All seven layers of skin got to be knit back together, just like you got a C-section. And you got to walk around with your guts bandaged up until you heal up again. Then the girls who want the big behind, they take that slop out their belly and pump it in their butt and blow their butt up with your own body fat.
So you move the fat from your stomach to the back of you. You know, you were like this. Now you're like this. Come on, man. Look. I'm hitting the most evident problem in church. I could talk about a lot of highfalutin sin, but the most evident one right in front of us, right here in the mirror. Get out the shower, look. There's your problem. So you ain't got to go to Jerusalem trying to find deliverance. Or I guess I'm going to go up here to this evangelist up here in New York to see what the Lord. Look, just get out the shower and look. There's your problem. It's evident. I told you truth. Absolute. When it comes at you, that's what people back off from. No, everybody overweight, everybody's dealing with this. If you're not ready to deal with it, it's offensive. And then they personalize it by me. See, pride don't like fat people. Okay, let's say I don't like fat people. Let's say that's true. Let's say I don't like nobody to fat. Let's say that's true. Okay, now, what's that going to do for you? That's not going to get you off. That's not going to get you off because I don't like fat. You see how crazy that is? It's as if me not liking fat people personally alleviates you of any responsibility. The Bible says you'll be overcome by eating. When you got an appetite running unrestrained about food, man, that thing is like you can feel it come on you. It's a demon. You can feel it come on you. It'll hit you like a blanket draping over you. You can feel that thing. It's wanting to feed itself. You ate one plate, and the thing, yeah, go back and get get another taste of that. Go and get you another plate of rib tips before you go. Well, hit another plate of macaroni and some of them greens or some of them rib tips or some of that cornbread before you leave. And, of course, get yourself a glass of lemonade. And, oh, yeah, that banana pudding, one more cup of that. And I guess I'll leave. But before I do, let me go on and get some of that strawberry cake. And I'm just getting ready to go. But before I do, let me just deviate over to the pork chops one last time. That's where you're getting, and you leave there. Tore up from the floor up. You can fast and lose 10 pounds. Some people can at least lose 10 to 15 pounds on a fast. And they'll have it right back by next week. Because, see, fat, when you starve yourself and that fat balloon shrinks. See, fat is just like a balloon. You can make it shrink down, but guess what? It stays what? Loose. Because you ever deflated a balloon? You see how a balloon get? That's how fat does inside of you. It get loose. So you got to take muscle and tone the muscle underneath the fat to get it strong, get that muscle tightened up to get toned back in your body. If you lost a lot of weight, you're gonna be flabby. That's why you got to exercise and tone up as you're losing weight. It's all scientific. It's all real. Why you want to be burned down carrying all this weight? I saw a lady the other day getting out of a car. It tortured me. I think it must have been 400 or 500 pounds getting out that car. And the car was sitting down on one side like it was like a low rider on her side, you know, the shocks was just taking a beating. She got that car, the car lifted up. She got wham, bam, bam, boom, bam. Got the car. And it wasn't funny because this lady was morbidly obese to the degree it's gonna impugn her health. Because all that fat got to have capillaries and circulatory vessels trying to get blood through you. And guess what, man? You're going to die from clogged arteries, cholesterol, and all that stuff. Just you ate yourself to death. This stuff is real. It's time to get for real. It's time to get stone cold serious about every facet of salvation, leaving nothing out. I don't leave any stones unturned. I try to cover every aspect of salvation because these things are serious. If the master said, we can be overcome by surfeiting, overeating. Jesus says what he means, and he means what he says. This is simplified, practical, applicable salvation that you can put to work today. You can change what I'm saying today. You can make up your mind, I'm not going to overeat and be a glutton anymore. I'm not, through willpower, allowing myself to eat like a Great Dane dog anymore. Enough is enough. Either I want in this great salvation or I don't.
Bottom line, a made-up mind is hard to get over, man. When you make up your mind and you're committed to it, the devil cannot transgress and trespass over a made-up mind. Simplified salvation is what we need. We need God to show us the way into the very essence of his presence as we take these simple steps of progression. I gave you 7 practical things to simplify your salvation. Don't go off to the New World Order and Alice Jones and all this stuff about the Nephilim and UFOs. And look, simplify your salvation if you want to make it in. It's time to really get free and stop talking about it. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and make them alive in the ears of the hearers. God, move us into the next phase of this thing. We got to go metaphysical. We got to go interdimensional. We've got to go supersonic. Talking about it and still staying the same just won't get it done anymore. Not just hearers, but doers of the word. These people will be blessed in their deeds. It's time to move on to another place. These demons are hiding under the surface, yoked to people because of appetites that run unrestricted. They just run amok. They take control. We got to rein in our appetites. We got to rein in our desires, rein in what we like, rein in our preferences, rein in what we enjoy, rein in what entertains us, rein in everything that's against God and exalting itself against the knowledge of God. God, we need to simplify our salvation. We need to see God come forth. We're fasting, we're praying, looking for a new dimension to open up. Tired of the same old place. We're leaving religion and heresy hunting behind. It's about me now. It's about the inner court. It's about the inner man. It's about a vessel fit for you to use. God, come on, let's just go. Let's go to another place in you, letting Jesus be Lord. Take over your church. Take over every facet of your church and live through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would stand to your feet as we dismiss for today.